Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We continue from the second line from the top of Daf Nun Aleph with a quote from the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis. It says, Shloshim shel Eved, Chamishim shel Oines, v'shel Mefate, Umea shel Motzi Shemra, Kulam b'shekel HaKodesh b'mona Tzuri. The Mishnah had opened up with the comment of Chomesh Shloim Shel Ben B'mona Tzuri. The continuation of the Mishnah was Kulam B'shekel HaKodesh B'mona Tzuri. Ostensibly, this is repetitive. So the Gemara asks, Ha Su Lomali Ha Tano Le Resha. Why is it necessary to say V'kulam, that they are all? It was already enumerated in the Mishnah. It mentioned the five Sela of Ben are B'mona Tzuri, and likewise the Chamishim of Oines and Mefate. So what do we gain by this comment of saying that they are all paid in terms of the Mona Tzuri? The Gemara answers, Oines umotzi shemra it's the richolei. It's necessary for the purposes of the motzi, the ones and motzi shemra rates. For rates or ones is rape, and motzi shemra is the casting of an ill reputation concerning one's wife, dealing with the realm of immorality. Salka daito chamina kivan de loksiv behu shkolim. Since the Torah does not use the word shekel with reference to those offenses, in contrast with pidyon haben, where the Torah says chameshes shkolim. In the case of eved, the Torah makes reference to shloshim shkolim. In the case of mefateh, seduction, the Torah says kesef yishkoil. But in the case of oines and mefateh, the word shekel doesn't appear. So I would have thought, now the word shekel in the Torah is a reference to the sela coin. This is a coin that contains in it 4 dinar. We made reference to this in our previous shiur. So with regard to pidyon haben, the Shloshim Shel Eved, the Mefateh, I understand that the amount of coins referred to there are in the Sela or Shekel rate. However, with regard to Oines and Motzi Shemra, these other offenses, the term Shekel doesn't appear. So, Eimo Zuzi Be'almo, I would have thought that the payment is in terms of Dinar, as opposed to Sela. Komash Malon, our Mishnah by this extra expression of Kulam comes to tell me the Melav Kol Yalfi Mehadodi. One is learned from the other. Namely, the topic of Oines and Motzi Shemra are learned from the other topics. The Gemara continues, Chutz min Hashkolim. The Mishnah said that there's an area that of payment that is not to be treated with cash equivalent. The Mishnah had said that at the end of the Mishnah, Kula niftin b'kesef u'b'shove kesef, Chutz min Hashkolim. so that the Torah was saying that all of the payments referred to in the Mishnah could be made either with cash or with cash equivalent, except for the money that's paid as part of the collection of the Machzis HaShekel that was collected from the Jewish population in the month of Adar. The Gemara actually elaborates on that, giving us additional examples where cash equivalent would not be acceptable, where you have to make the payment in cash, in pure or in straight cash. The topic heading and structural note that you see in the outside margin of our Gemara, entitled Nosei Mivneh, this is one of the features that we offer as part of Gemara markings in our Shas Ozer. This is the Shas that appears on your screen. This is the cornerstone of Gemara markings. We feature topic headings and structural notes. In this case, we've combined the two into one note, the Nosei being the topic heading, and Mivneh, structural note, we feature a little triangle, and they indicate Dvorim Shetzrichim Rak Kesef Alo Shove Kesef. Examples of payments that must be made in straight cash and not cash equivalent. The Gemara, Tana, the Tanaic source, expands that which the Mishnah said, Chutz Min HaShkolim U'Maiser V'Horei Ayon. Shkolim, the case of Shkolim, which is a reference to the collection of the Machzis HaShekel, when the coins, the half-shekel coins, were collected from a given community, they were then sent to Yerushalayim. In order to send large quantities of coins, there were times at which they would exchange them for more valuable coins, and hence smaller number of physical coins to take to Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says, "Mitzarfin shkolim lidarvoinois b'pnei masui haderech." Darvonos are gold coins. Many machzis hashekel, which is a half shekel silver coin, many of them could be exchanged for many fewer darvoinois. So this was done because of masui haderech, for the burden or the trouble of carrying, of transportation, so that when a shliach, when a messenger would bring the coins, he would transfer the masses of shekels onto Darvonos to make it easier for him to carry them. What's the point over here? The point is that the transfer of coins, of the Machzis HaShekel, the Shkolim that we refer to, must be onto other coins and not onto anything else. Meiser, a reference to the Meiser Sheni, the redemption of the Meiser Sheni tithe, the Kedusha, the sanctity that's on those fruits, can be transferred onto coins, only coins, not coin, not cash value or cash equivalent. Dichtiv v'tzarto ha-kesef biyodecha. That's a reference to the transfer of the Kedusha onto Kesef, and the Gemara elsewhere darshins this word Sartas Kesef Sheishalof Tzura, minted coins, not cash equivalent. Veho Reayon. Reayon is a reference to the purchase of a holiday Korban Ola, known as the Olas Re'iyah. The Pesuk makes reference to Shalosh Pom Roshono Yera'eh Kol Zchurcha. Three times a year, the people are expected to show up in the Beis HaMikdash, and hence this Korban is referred to by the term Re'ayon, having to do with appearance in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah dictates that the Korban Oila is purchased through the payment of two Mo'ois Kesef. That's the Shtei Kesef referred to in the Torah, and here we're taught that the payment for that Ola must be made in cash, in using these two Mo'is Kesef, and not cash equivalent. Tani Rav Yosef Shelo Yovi Siga La'azora. Siga is a reference to silver pieces, silver filings possibly, that one should not use silver filings to purchase this Korban Ola, but rather silver coins, specifically two mois, kesef, two minted coins, and not cash equivalent. We now approach a new Mishnah. Before learning it, we glance at the side of the Gemara. You'll notice we have a topic heading. A couple points that we are emphasizing here in our topic heading. Dvarim she'ein poidin bohen b'chor. The redemption of a firstborn, we mentioned, can be done with a cash equivalent, something that it has value. However, there are certain things that one is not allowed to use in that redemption. And the Mishnah will enumerate. The Gemara itself will point out that the Mishnah, which restricts the use of several things, is not like Rebbe, whose list of restrictions is more limited. So our Mishnah will also talk about Chiyuv Achrayis im Ne'evad Kesef HaPinyon Lefnei Shigia Liyada Koyin. If a person, if a father set aside the money for the redemption of his son, the Pinyon HaBen money, and something happened to it, got lost before it got to the Kohen. The mere fact that the father set aside the money is not enough to absolve him of his obligation, but rather he must make good on it. He must replace it, replace the Chamisha Sloyim. The Mishnah now. Ein Poiden, one is not to redeem his firstborn male son, lo ba'avodim, v'lo b'shtoros, v'lo b'karkois, v'lo b'hekdeshos. He shall not give to the Kohen a slave, a shtar. Now, a shtar is a bill of debt. Namely, if the father was owed money, someone owed money to the father. Let's say someone owed 5 sloyim to the father. The father should not use the shtar, this document, and transfer it to the Kohen, enabling the Kohen to collect that debt. And with that, the father would fulfill his Pidyon HaBen. So we're telling here, you hear, no, you can't do that. Furthermore, v'lo b'karkos, not land, v'lo b'hekdeshos, and not with items that were sanctified. Kosav l'koyen shuhu chayav lo chamisha sloyim. Imagine a father wrote a document indicating that I owe you 5 selah. We can say he creates an artificial obligation to pay a Kohen 5 selah. Of course, the father intends to redeem his son through this. Yet the Mishnah says it won't work. As a result of preparing such a document, Chayav Litein Loi, the father creates an obligation that he now owes the Kohen this money. However, Uvenoi Eino Podui, but the son is not redeemed through this. It's almost reminiscent, but this is, we're just throwing out a suggestion. Maybe one has to look into this further on a halacha lemaisa basis. Imagine a father writing a check out to a Kohen. So the check is basically a document indicating that the Kohen can collect this money from the writer of the check. But if our illustration is accurate, we're saying here that the son will not be redeemed through the giving of the check to the Kohen. Rather, the Kohen will be able to cash the check, as the Mishnah says, Chayav Litein Lo. However, Uvno Eino Podui. Well, what's this father to do now? Of course he can take out another 5 sloyim and give the 5 silver coins to the Kohen. However, there's another option. Lefikoch im rotza ha-kohen litein loy matono rashoi. If the Kohen wants to, let's say, cash the check and then give the coins that he received for the check to the father as a gift, and then the father would give those coins now back to the Kohen, that could be done. In other words, that's a solution, the only solution other than taking out an additional 5 coins and giving them straight out to the Kohen. Hamafrish pidyon beno ve'ovad. A father set aside coins for the redemption of his son, but they got lost. Chayav bachriyuso. The father is obligated to make good on it. He has to set aside another, has to provide another 5 coins. Shenemar yie loch ufado tifdeh. These are words that appear in the pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Yudches pasuk Tes Vav. We've included this pasuk on the side of the Gemara, and from these words Yeloch Podo Tifteh, we learn that the father bears an obligation to ensure the payment to the Kohen, and therefore if he had set aside the 5 sloim and they got lost before they got to the Kohen, he has to make good on it. Our Gemara opens up with a declaration that the Mishnah is not in accordance with Rebbe. Our Mishnah, which asserted Pidyon HaBen through Avodim Karkois, in addition to Shtaros, is not in accordance with Rebbe. Disanya, Rebbe Omer, we see a framed section, a Tanaic source, that contains the opinion of Rebbe, who says, Bakol Poidin Bechor Odom Chutz Min Hashtaros. Through all medium, a person can redeem his firstborn male child with the exception of Shtaros. Shtaros, as we saw earlier, was a reference to bills of collection or bills of debt that were owed to a debts owed to the father. And instead of the father collecting the money, the father would have transferred this document, this bill of collection, to the Kohen, and the Kohen would be able to collect the debt. And through that, there was this hope that the redemption of the father's son would be accomplished. And we're told here, Rebbe says it doesn't work. And that's like that aspect is like the mission. However, Rebbe limits ineffective means to the case of Shtaros. The Gemara will be asking, what is the basis of Rebbe and the Rabbonan being our Mishnah. We will be using diamonds to highlight the names Rebbe and Rabbonan, and on the outside margin, we have included a Nosei Mivneh heading. You see a diamond featured. This highlights the Machlokas Rebbe Rabbonan, Eich Dorshim HaPosuk BePidyon HaBen. They have a disagreement in how to expound the on the pasuk dealing with Pidyon HaBen, v'nafkamina b'meh kosher lifdois bo, the point of difference, the resultant difference in their respective approaches will have practical bearing on what is acceptable for using as means of redeeming. The Gemara, my taimo de Rebbe. What's the basis of Rebbe? What's the source for Rebbe? Answer, Dorish Ribui Umiuti. His approach to the psukim in Bamidbar Perek Yudches is through the Ribui Umiut approach. Ribui meaning inclusion and miut being exclusion. And it all depends on how you look at the words in the pasuk. So we continue now in the Gemara. Ufduyov miben choydesh. That expression, ribo, is an inclusive expression. Basically, the pasuk is saying, redeem the child, however. Be'erkecho kesef, this expression appears in the pasuk. That is mi'et. That tells me you can't just use everything. It's mi'et. It's a limiting expression to cash. The pasuk goes on to say, tifteh. That word means redeeming, but again, it's not qualified. Riba, it's then inclusive. Riba, umiyet, v'riba, riba hakoil. When you have this structure of inclusive, exclusive, and then inclusive again, that enables you to include all means. My ravi, ravi kol mili, basically everything is excluded. Ah, what do you do with regard to the fact that there is a miut in the pasuk? Umay miut, so what's excluded? Miut shtaros. The only thing that's excluded is the attempt to redeem through transfer of document of debt. And Rashi explains the shtar itself has no inherent value whatsoever, except for the paper that it's written on, but that's negligible. So what's excluded? Only shtaros, but all other things, including avodim and karkos, would be useful in redeeming a firstborn male child. The Rabbonon Darshi Klal Uprat. The Rabbonon approach to the Pasuk is through a different means of expounding upon the verse. It's called the Klal Uprat method. Klal is a reference to something general, and Prat is a reference to something specific. So looking at the same Pasuk, the same phrases, but labeling them differently, you come out with the following. Ufduyov mi ben chodesh. Klal. That's a general expression. Be'erkecha kesef equals prat. That's a specific example of what is used. Tifdeh, chazar v'kolal. The tifdeh expression comes to be a general expression again. Klal uprat uklal, ein atodon elo ke'ein haprat. When you have this type of sentence structure, of pasuk structure, we're told that you can include things, but they must be similar to the prat, similar to the specific example cited. Maha prat, which happens to be kesef, maha prat mefurush, is explicitly dover hametaltel, something that's portable, v'gufo mamon, and has inherent value. Af kol dover hametaltel v'gufo mamon, so to any other thing that has the same characteristics, that it's portable and has inherent value. Yotsu karkos, well, with that we will exclude land, she'ein metaltelin. Though it has inherent value, it's not portable, and it's therefore not like kesef. Yotsu avodim shehukshu l'karkos. Will exclude slaves as well as a means of redeeming a new child, because in the Torah, slaves are compared to real estate, to land. Yotsu shtoros, we will exclude documents, bills of collection. She'af al pi shemetaflin, even though they happen to be portable, in that sense they are like kesef, however, ein gufon mamon, they don't have inherent value, they only have representative value, they represent a money that could be collected. At this point, the Gemara raises a question, and we have this labeled as a long question. You can see the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating that the length of the question contains all of these lines of Gemara opposite this marking. Up till now, we've presented Rebbe as coming out with his very limited exception based on his approach to psukim called Darshaning Ribui Umiyut. The problem the Gemara raises is that in another area of Torah law, we find Rebbe adopting a different method of drusha, namely the method of klal pratu klal. So we are assuming that if a person has a specific approach to psukim, he'll be consistent in applying that approach to all areas, all psukim in the Torah. So the Gemara asks, Omar le Ravino lem Reimar, v'Rebbe ribuy umiyuti dorish? Is it so that Rebbe's approach to psukim is through this method called ribuy umiyut? V'Rebbe kloli uproti dorish? Rebbe's approach to psukim is through the other method called klal uprat. Mi Marzea, from the case of Marzea, we will see Rebbe's approach. Marzea is a reference to a Jewish slave, an Eved Ivri, that after working for 6 years, as the Torah dictates, he has an option of saying he wants to continue working till the Yovel year. The Yovel called the Jubilee year or the 50th year of the Torah agricultural cycle. In order to be allowed to continue working till the Yovel year, his ear is pierced or is bored. The Torah makes reference to a utensil called a marzea. Verotza adoinov es oznoi b'marzea. Marzea is a vessel that has the ability to create a hole in one's ear. So, what about using other utensils? For our purposes, there is no pressing need to offer a specific translation to each one of the vessels referenced. Well, all that's really important for us is that they are other vessels or utensils that are capable of making a hole. We can assume they're items or utensils that have a pointy edge to them. So With that background in mind, we continue anticipating seeing Shitas Rebbe. Rebbe will appear in this source. His name is underlined for your convenience at the end of the source. And we will then understand, as the Gemara continues to explain after the Tanaic source, which you see in the frame, following that, the Gemara will point out that Rebbe's conclusion is reached through the fact that Rebbe, you can see we dashed underline this, Rebbe Dorish Kolei Uprati. That Rebbe, as opposed to Rebbe Yossi Beruda, is also featured in this source. Rebbe takes the approach of Klal Uprat. And let us now continue with the source, Desanya. Bearing in mind, we're trying to show that Rebbe's approach to Psukim is called the Klal Uprat method. The Pasuk says, Martseya. That's a reference to that's a vessel or utensil used for creating a hole in an Eved's ear. Ainli Elah Martseya. I would think only that specific vessel could be used. Minayin larabos, from where do I know that I can include in my vessel options? Hasoil, vahasira, vahamachat, vahamikdach, vahamichdav. These are names of different utensils. Talmud lomar vilokachto. The posuk says that he shall take vilokachto. He takes Larabos called over shenukach biyad divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbuda to include anything that you can take in your hand, any utensil, portable utensil that you can take in your hand and make a hole in someone's ear with it. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe's approach is different than Rabbi Yossi Rabbuda. He says, Martseya, ma martseya miuchot shoma teches, just like the martseya vessel is made of metal, af kol shoma teches. You are also, likewise, you can use anything provided it's metallic. In other words, Rebbe, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi Rebuda, is more limited. He limits you to utensils that are made of metal. The Amrinon Bemai Komifligi, and it's been said, what is the underlying point of difference between these two opinions? And to this we say, Rebbe Dorish Kloli Uproti, Rabbi Yossi Rebuda Dorish Ribu Yumiuti. Rebbe takes the more limiting approach to Pusuk expansion using the Klal Uprat method, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi Rehuda, who uses the Ribui Umiut and hence includes things even if they're not metallic. But the main point for our discussion now is that which we've dashed underlined. We are illustrating that Rebbe's approach to Psukim is called he does it through the Klal Uprat method. If that be the case, so then how is it that above, when it came to redeeming firstborn male children, Rebbe seems to use a more expansive method, including many different things, excluding only shtaros? The Gemara answers, in true, Ba'alma Rebbe Kloli Uproti Dorish. That opinion of Rebbe that you see in the case of the Martseya really reflects the true Rebbe approach. The Hocha, here in the case of Pidyon HaBen, there is a reason for his departure from the Klal Uprat method. And if you want to know the reason, why does he darshan by Pidyon HaBen differently, this the Gemara now explains. Kidetono debay Rabbi Shmuel, based on the Tanaic teaching from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, which what's featured in this upcoming Tanaic source is a totally different topic. It's unrelated topic-wise or content-wise, but it's related in the sense that you have a similar pasuk structure. The topic that is found in this Tanaic source deals with kosher variety sea creatures, fish and the related, we'll say. And to be a little more accurate, really, it's not the creatures themselves, but it's where the creatures are found. In other words, we know that that sea creatures must have fins and scales in order to be kosher. This requirement, does it apply to all bodies of water, or is it possible that in different water sources there might be a less requirement? There might not be the requirement for snapri v'kaskesis. It's really not necessary for the understanding of our Gemara at hand to get into further detail. Rashi provides a lot of the background for this source from Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, but what we want to point out is that there are psukim, and in fact the case of Pidyon HaBen will be similar in the following sense. that it's not the order of the words or the phrases in the pasuk are not in fact inclusive, exclusive, and then inclusive in that order, but rather you may have two inclusive or general expressions, and only following the two generals, then you have the specific. What happens in such a case where it's structured like that, in that fashion, where you have the two expansive expressions or general expressions, and only later do you have the specific? So let's see what happens. Tanur Beis Shmuel, Bamayim, Bamayim, Shtei Pa'amim. The word Bamayim means water, all sources of water. Those are two general expressions. The pasuk that deals with kosher variety sea creatures goes on to enumerate, after the appearance of these two general words, the two mayim words, it goes on to enumerate different water sources. Rashi quotes the pasuk. It says, you can see this if you glance in Rashi 5 lines from the bottom. The pasuk says, "Ezeh tochlu mikol asher bamayim, asher lo isnapir v'kaskeses bamayim." So you see the word bamayim appearing before the pasuk goes on to enumerate by yamim uvenecholim, and it goes on to enumerate different water sources. So what happens when you have that? Ein zeh klalu prat ela riba umiyet. This becomes a reason for diverging from your standard klalu prat approach, if that happened to be your standard approach, as was the case with Rebbe, and to treat that pasuk in a ribui umiut fashion. Even though what we said might not be so clear in the context of kashrus, we weren't really trying to be clear, but we apply that to the case of pidyon haben. What is the structure of the pidyon haben pasuk? So that you can see by glancing at the pasuk that's quoted on the side of your Gemara, on the upper part of the, you know, higher up on the page. You, if you notice in the margin, we've written Bamidbar Yudches pasuk Tezayin. In that pasuk, you have Ufduyov miben chodesh. Remember, that was a general expression. You have immediately following that the word tifteh, which is also was viewed as a general expression. And only after the two generals do you have be'erkecha kesef, which was the specific. So when you have two klals and then the prat, we are told by the Tanur Beis Shmuel that even though you, generally speaking, darshan psukim that have the klal uprat structure, in this case, it's really not klal prat uklal, it's klal klal uprat. And as a result of that, you darshan it as a ribui miut veribui. What effect does that have in the case of pidyon haben? So the effect is, as we saw, Rebbe concluded that we're really going to include almost everything as a kosher means, acceptable means of redeeming a firstborn male child, the exception, the sole exception being shtoros. Now, v'rabbonon, the rabbonon of our Mishnah, Omar Ravino, again, just to review, the rabbonon of our Mishnah said more than just shtoros are excluded. So Ravina says, k'damrina b'marova, the Rabbanan approach is like that which is taught in Marovo, taught in Eretz Yisrael, Komokam Shata Motse, Shtei, Klolos, Asmuchim, Zeh, Lozeh, wherever you have two general expressions next to one another, and that we have here in Pidyon HaBen, Hatel Prat Beinehem, the Dunam Beklal Uprat, insert the specific, namely the case of the Be'erke Chokesef, between the two generals, and darshan them and learn them. Dunam is like for the ladun, is to judge them or learn them. Beklal uprat, and as we saw, when you darshan something in a klal uprat uklal fashion, you end up with a more limited situation. So that when comes to pinyon aben, since we're darshaning klal uprat uklal, we say the means of redemption must be similar to the prat. And as a result of the prat being Erke Chokesef, we excluded Avodim, Shtoros, and Karkois, and Ekdashis. Continuing in the Gemara, Velo Behegdashos. Up to till now, we've been translating things as they appeared. However, this phrase doesn't make any sense. We were told in the Mishnah that you can't use, as a means of redemption, amongst other things, you can't use hekdeshes, you can't use sanctified things. Well, the Gemara says, Pshita, lav didei ninu. Of course you can't use sanctified things. Sanctified things don't belong to you. They belong to the Beis HaMikdash. How can I use something that's been dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash as a means of redeeming my own child? So the Gemara says we have to supply a new understanding of this Mishnah. Amal, rather say, now we're at the top of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, you should say, V'lo hekdeshos b'chol elu. You cannot redeem items that have been dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash through any of these things. In other words, if someone had dedicated something to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants to, let's say, redeem it and acquire the item for himself, so he has to offer something in exchange to the Beis HaMikdash. Our mission is telling us that if you want to redeem something from the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot use Avodim, Shtoros, and Karkos to redeem Hekdesh. Just like you cannot use Avodim, Shtoros, and Karkos to redeem a firstborn male child. Kosav l'koyin shu chayav lo chamisha sloyim, chayav litein lo, v'chulei. Omar Ula, Devar Torah beno podui lichashiyitain. If a person writes a shtar to a kohen that says, I owe you 5 selah, and he then gives that shtar to the kohen, Ula tells us that, well, when he makes good on that shtar, when he pays the kohen when he pays him the cash that he indicated he owes him, the child on a Torah level is considered redeemed. It would be effective. It's effective by paying off the debt that you had written in this document. Umay taimo ein beno podui. So why does the Mishnah say that it doesn't work? Answer: Gzeiro shemo yomru poidim b'shtar. People will come to think that you can, in general, redeem with shtoros. Shtoros, we described earlier, as those are bills of collection or documents of debt. That means other people that happen to owe this father money, indicated their debt through preparing a document, and now the father would take this collection document, this shtar, we can call it milva b'shtar, he takes this shtar to, gives it to the kohen and says, instead of my collecting it, you go and collect it. Well, that kind of shtar does not work, and we saw that doesn't work midoraisa, and that was what we darshan on Amud Aleph of our Gemara. Therefore, this kind of document where the father himself indicates, I owe you, the Kohen, 5 selah, giving him this shtar and then paying it in cash later on, we say doesn't work, because if we were to say that situation works, people will say in general you can use other shtaros as well for Pidyon HaBen, and those other shtaros don't work whatsoever. The Gemara continues, Toni Tano Kamei D'Rav Nachman. Someone stated, a Tanaic source in front of Rav Nachman, regarding the case of the father writing an IOU to the Kohen. And this source taught to Rav Nachman says, Beno podui l'chashiyitain. The child will be redeemed when the father pays up. Omar lei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says to the Tana, to the one who said over this source, Zu divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Stimta. The Amri Law, another version, is Zu divrei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Stimta. This unnamed source is in accordance with either Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, or another version has in accordance with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Stimta means an unnamed source. So it's an unnamed source in accordance with those opinions. Avo Chachomim Omrim Ein Beno Podui. The Chachamim say that even when the father pays the money, that he indicated in the IOU, and he pays the money to the Kohen, the son will not be redeemed. Apparently because it's a payment made on as a result of that particular IOU. The Hilchasa, the Gemara itself, rules Ein Beno Podui, that it simply doesn't work. And the father will be expected to either pay out another 5 sloim, or, as the mission itself indicated, that the Kohen, when he receives payment from the father for this IOU, he might be a nice guy, give the 5 sloim back to the father, and the father would now present them anew to the Kohen as Pinyan HaBen. Lefikoch im rotzo a Kohen litain loy b'matono rashoi. Tanino loho detonu rabbonon. We have a Tanaic source that reflects or that our Mishnah would offer support to. The Tanaic source says, Nosnu la'asora kehanim bevas achas yotza. If a father took 5 sela and placed them in front of 10 kohanim at one shot, he has fulfilled his requirement of pidyon haben. Boze achar ze yotza. From Rashi, it seems that this means he gives the coins, the 5 sloim, not in one shot, but one after the other, but to one Kohen. He also, after he pays the 5th coin, the son will be redeemed. Not loy, v'hechziron loy, yotza. If the Kohen took the coins, and then after taking the coins, he gave them back to the father, that's okay. The father has fulfilled his requirement. The fact that the Kohen returns the coins to the father doesn't cancel the redemption. The Kachoyim in Hogosh Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was a Kohen, and his practice was, Shoyenotel, he used to take the money from the father, Umachsir, and give the coins back. When the Chachomim heard about Rabbi Tarfon's practice, Omru, they said, Kiyem ze halocha zu, that he, Rabbi Tarfon, has fulfilled this halocha. The Gemara asks, what do you mean he's fulfilled? Hasn't he fulfilled anything else? Halocha zu v'su lo. He's fulfilled only this and nothing else? Ela. Kiyem ze af halocha zu. The Rabbeinu Gershom explains, you can see this in our marked Rabbeinu Gershom, there's some underlinings. So we've underlined in the latter underlinings, Af kiem halocha zu shegila lakol da halocha kain. Rabbi Tarfon revealed to everyone that the halocha is thusly, the rashoi lahachsir, that it is allowed for the Kohen to return the money. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina, who was a Kohen, have rogil v'shokil umahader. His practice was like that of Rabbi Tarfon. He would take it and mahader and return. Chazio lahu gavra, dahave ko'ozu v'osi kamei. There was a man who redeemed his son through Rabbi Chanina. He had given money to Rabbi Chanina, and this man was pacing back and forth in front of Rabbi Chanina. In other words, as Rashi explains, he was trying to make himself visible to Rabbi Chanina in hoping that Rabbi Chanina would return the money to him as well. Omar Lay, Rabbi Chanina says, looks like you're waiting for me to return the money. So, lo gamris v'yahivas, it seems that when you paid me the money initially, you didn't do it with a full heart. You didn't resolve to pay me the money in an unqualified, no strings attached fashion. Aha, if that be the case, so then you didn't really redeem your son. Meidam bish avdis. Meidam means something, bish, negative. You have done. You've done something negative. In other words, you've done something wrong. Hilkoch ein bincha podui. Since you didn't give the money with the real intent of with a full heart and intention of my receiving and keeping the money, your son is not redeemed. Let's glance at the Rashi in the upper part of the page. Meidam bish abdis dovara asisa. You have done something negative. Hilkoch ein bincha podui im achziram. Your son won't be redeemed if I give them back to you. Loshon achir. Another version of this is afilu lo achziram ein bincha podui. Even if I don't give them back to you, since your initial giving of the money was not done with proper intention, your son is simply not redeemed. Continuing in the Gemara, Hamafrish Pidyon Benoi V'Ovad Chayov Bachriyuso. If a person set aside the money for the redemption of his firstborn male child, and the money that he set aside got lost, so he is obligated to make good on it. Chayov Bachriyuso. We've dashed underlined that expression because this will be a focal point of the Gemara. Before going on in the Gemara, we have some markings that we would like to note. You'll notice some a Roman numeral number 1 and later on a Roman numeral number 2. And these are featured on the outside margin of our Gemara. There are no Sei Mivneh heading. You see Roman numerals 1 and 2. Shnei Lishoinois Alma Koi Reishlogish Ravdimi. Reishlogish Ravdimi will appear in our Gemara as offering sources, scriptural sources for something. The question is, what are they referring to? What are they going on? So, number one, Mekoros L'Achrayas Al Kesef Pidyon Shenevad. Might be that Yerush Lagush and Rav Dimi are offering sources from where I know that there is an obligation to make good on the lost Pidyon HaBen money. The problem with this approach, and the Gemara will point it out, is why do I need Reish Lakish and Rav Dimi to offer their psukim when the Mishnah itself gave a source for this point? The Mishnah itself mentioned the pasuk Yeloch Ufado Tivdeh. Why do I need them to offer additional psukim? Therefore, the Gemara will tell us that the comments of Rav Shulman and Lakish and Rav Dimi are referring to a second topic, namely chiyuv pidyon achar misa, that even after death there is an obligation to pay the redemption. Turning to the Gemara, the Gemara asks minolon, from where do I know? Now, ostensibly the question is, from where do I know that if money was set aside for Pidyon HaBen, it got lost, Chayav Bachri, so that he has to make good on it. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Asyo Erech Me'erechin. Through word comparison, we conclude this Chiyuv Achrayas from the topic of Erechin. Namely, if a person made a dedication of his Torah value, the Torah assigns values to people based on gender and age. A person made such a dedication of his Torah value, set aside the money, and it got lost. It doesn't help that he set aside the money. He has to replace it with new funds in order to fulfill his erechin dedication. Since you find this chiyuv achrayas by erechin, and the word erech appears there, and it appears likewise by pidyon haben, I understand that by Pidyon HaBen there is also a Chiyuv Achrayas. Rav Dimi Omer Rav Yonason, V'chol B'chor Bonecho Tivdeh V'lo Yera'u Ponai Reikom V'yolif Reikom Reikom Me'oilas Re'iya. The Pasuk makes reference to Pidyon HaBen, and it also says in it V'lo Yera'u Ponai Reikom, a reference to the holiday appearance in the Beis HaMikdash, in which people would bring their korban oilo, known as the olas ri'iya. Ma oilas ri'iya chayav bachriyuso. If a person had set aside money, let us say, set aside an animal for this korban oilo, and it died, he has to make good on it. Af pidyon haben chayav bachriyuso. So too, with regard to money set aside for pidyon haben, If it got lost, he has to make good on it. Maskif law Rav Papa. Rav Papa asks, "Kraw the kraw? Do I need another pasuk, namely that of Rav Shimon ben Lakish or Rav Dimi, to support a pasuk that was already stated in the Mishnah? Or more simply, the Mishnah already gave us a pasuk, the Mishnah predating Reish Lakish and Rav Dimi. So the Mishnah gave us a mocker for this idea of Chiyuv Achrayas by Pinyan HaBen. What in the world would I need Erech for, or the Reikom Drosha for?" We just for the sake of detail, the pasuk before said v'chol b'chor b'necho tivdev l'pranay reikom. We see in that pasuk the use of the word reikom, which we used as a word comparison to the topic of olas riyah, where you also see the word reikom. But after all is said and done, the problem is the seeming redundancy or the lack of necessity for psukim when the Mishnah already gave us a pasuk. Elo Omar Rav Papa ha kedekatani. The issue of chiyuv achrayas, if the money got lost, is as was taught in the Mishnah. Once again, ha kedekatani taimo, as the Mishnah already gave its reason or its source, yeloch ach podo tifteh. From that pasuk we learn the chiyuv achrayas by pidyon haben. The chi itmar the Reish Lakish, and that which Reish Lakish taught a Reisha Itmar, that is a reference to that which was taught in the Reisha of the Mishnah. This is a reference to that which was taught in the Mishnah Daf Mem Tesom and Aleph, where we saw it, the Mishnah said that if the father died after the son had reached 30 days of age, there is an obligation to have that son redeemed. Aresha itmar meis la'achar shloshim yoim afal pi shelo nosan, even if the father had not paid the redemption, yitain, he is obligated to pay. So minolon, from where do I know that there's a chiyuv to pay even after death? Before we go any further, we just must make a technical correction. We are, in fact, as we said, talking about the need to pay after death. However, the reference that the Gemara will make to death is not the father's death, but rather it was the earlier Mishnah Daf Mem Tesom and Aleph, which spoke about the child dying after it reached age 30 days. The Mishnah there says that if the child died after 30 days of age, even if the father had not paid the Pidyon HaBen, he is still expected to pay. Minolon, from where do I know this halacha? Namely, that after the child, even though the child is dead, since he reached 30 days of age, the father is obligated to pay. Omar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Asyo Erech Erech Me Erechin. I learn that there is this obligation to pay from the topic of Erechin, which we explained earlier. Rav Dimi, Omar Rav Yonason, says, V'chol b'chor b'necho tifdeh, v'lo yeira'u ponai reikom. Ma lahalon yorshin chayovin, just like in the case of an ola, an obligatory ola offering, Rashi cites an example of a woman, for example, that gave birth and she brought her korban chatas. A woman who bears a child brings a korban chatas and a korban ola. If she died and had brought her korban chatas, and not yet brought the korban ola, but before bringing the korban ola, she died, her heirs are obligated to bring that korban ola. Korban ola of a yoledes is an example of an obligatory korban ola. So we find by obligatory korban olas the need to make good, so to speak, even after the owner dies. So too here, even after the child who needs the redemption died, child being parallel to the woman who needed to bring the korban ola, the child who needed the redemption dies, the yorshim, afkan yorshim chayovim, those who survive are obligated to redeem that child who had lived beyond 30 days of age. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.